This is Twa Teams One Street from the Evening Telegraph, the only podcast as obsessed with Dundee and Dundee United as you are. On this episode, Dundee's toils in the Highlands, United looking to keep pace at the top, and Scotland find out their playoff fate. Hello and welcome to another edition of Twa Teams One Street. This is our 40th edition. Will you believe we've made it this far? It's unbelievable. We're getting close to that half century. And I'm joined by the usual crew, George Cram, as he's better known now. That man sitting there to me.
He's speaking to me.
He's speaking to yourself. Right,
thanks. So we must be getting close to getting paid for this thing then.
I know, you think 50 would be the mark for that. But yeah. And the man that obviously pays the bills, signs the checks, sport editor, Graham Finnan.
Hello, everyone.
There he is there. I could have said something else to slag him there, but
poker face there, he's not.
Take it easy, Carl.
Anyway, this week we'll start with Dundee again. Not to show any bias, but obviously Dundee were in action last week. Or not in action, maybe more to the point, given how they played. They were up at Inverness. I was there covering, went down 1-0. Aaron Doran scores early, and then Dundee, pretty poor, didn't create very much. I know you were there yourself as well, Graham. I mean, what were your thoughts on the game itself, if you can remember much of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, it was a pretty disappointing performance, especially on the back of the Derby defeat. You were looking for a reaction, you were looking for a response. And I'm afraid Dundee never sort of did any of that. You know, Inverness won the game. I don't think Inverness were brilliant. They didn't create very much in the game.
No.
But they went up early, and Dundee have got to respond to that. I mean, football is not always going to be sort of, you know, you're not always going to take the leading games. Everything isn't always going to go your way, but you've got to find a way to, you know, get back into the game. And Dundee just didn't do that. And, you know, it must be a worry for James McPeak, but he's already mentioned in his presser this week, you know, they need to create more chances. They need to give the strikers more service inside the box. Yeah. Unless they get balls in the box in between the posts, they're not going to score goals, you know. So they seem to have taken a step backwards, Dundee. And, you know, it's something they really need to address, and they need to address it quickly, Carl.
I've spoken to a few people that were up there as well, and the criticism they've got is how slow Dundee are in the build-up. And it just gives the opposition the opportunity to get back in shape, and then that's really difficult to break that down.
Yeah,
I think they just need to up the tempo a bit, especially at the start of the game, just go for it. Turn the defence around, stick the ball over the top a couple of times.
To be fair, they had the most of possession. Mm. They were on top most of the game.
But that's what I mean.
They did start.
A lot of teams in the championship are quite happy with that, and they'll just sit in and let you have it.
And Inverness did, you know, execute the game plan well, sat in, defended well, hit them on the counter. But Story has a lot of pace. Doran has a lot of pace. Jordan White's a good focal point for them. They really did well. But Dundee started well, kept on the pressure, the tempo, the possession. But maybe it was the pace of the play.
That's what I mean.
That the team worked together, there was a lot of boys. As much as I thought he did well, Jordan McGee was out of position at right back. Josh Meakins comes
Jordan
back
McGee's
into the team.
Said when he came in that he sees himself as a right back.
I still think he's best at centre half, and have a guy like Kamikaze who can get up and down the line more mobile. But the real problem when you saw the team sheet was the midfield. I think that was clear for anyone to see. You had Sean Byrne in there, Jamie Ness, Graham Dorans, Paul McGowan. All good players in their own right, but they're all kind of very similar. McGowan's maybe a little bit more dynamic and advanced, but as he's getting older, he's maybe losing that wee yard of pace that he maybe usually had before. But Byrne, Ness, Dorans all sitting holding, passing side to side. It's nice. It's keeping possession. Yeah. I mean, no surprise that they had the possession in the territory, but it didn't really go anywhere.
Absolutely, and you know, they made the change in the second half about half an hour ago, and they brought on Johnson, they brought on Todd. And while it wasn't fantastic, it was better.
It was a lot better.
Instantly, it was better. They started moving forward a bit more, and I'd be very surprised if we see those four players again lining up, you know, in the starting lineup the way they were in that game. I think there is a place for them. There's no doubt about that. They keep the ball for fun. But unless you're hurting the opposition, then, you know, you're not going anywhere fast. And the big problem is, if the opposition are in front, you know, you need to start changing things. So, I think that's an area James McPeak will be looking at.
It was almost like he was trying to shoehorn them in, because I know it's obvious the quality that all of those players have, Graham Dorans particularly, but he really likes Jamie Ness as well. I think he was trying to find a place for Ness in the team coming back from injury. Ness actually did very well, but you know, maybe they need to add something different into that midfield, whether that's through a signing in January, a bit of width, creativity. Mm-hmm. Because at the moment, Declan McDade kind of looks like the only one who's ready to get his head down, right, beat a man, put a cross in, you know, have a dig. The rest of the players are very much happy in keeping the play going, keeping the tempo, which is good, but you need people who can break teams down, mm-hmm, in this division, because they're going to come up against, as one of the bigger teams, a lot of stern defences that aren't, mm-hmm, going to let them.
I do like the squad he's put together. I think it's got a good shape about it and, mm-hmm, a good balance, but I think you're right. Yeah. I think he does need somebody to maybe balance up with McDade. It's easier said than done to try to find that. I mean, I don't think
it might be there, George. I mean, you're talking about maybe looking in the January window, but I think it could just be a case of tweaking the way they're set up. Mm-hmm. I would again say, and I say it for Dundee United as well, I always think that, you know, when they're playing at home especially, you should be starting with two men up front. You've got the opportunity then to hit balls into the final third, and you've got two men up there that can chase down, and the quality you've got Hemmings and you've got Johnson chasing down defenders. More often than not, they will get on top of the ball and you'll be attacking teams from inside, yeah, the final third. You know, at the moment, when Kane Hemmings, I've said this in the past, I feel sorry for him. I mean, I saw him on Saturday, and he was once in the first half when he came. He had to come 10 yards inside his own half, and he laid the ball back, I think, into one of the midfielders, or might have been back to a defender. I'm like, he's playing up there on his own. Who are the defenders then going, yeah, to hit with the ball?
Yeah.
There isn't anybody up the top. So I'm sure James McPake is looking at it, and we'll see changes on Saturday, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Dundee are now, you know, away from the team selection and all this. In terms of results in the league table, Dundee are now sitting fourth. They're up below Inverness for that result.
Arbroath are only a point behind.
You know, they're talking about, is the title gone? They're 12 points behind Dundee United. They're only 1 point ahead of Arbroath. So
I think
there's got to be.
They've got to win every game if they would have any chance.
I think the players have been realistic as well, George. They're not looking at Dundee. They have to look at their own performances first. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if Lee Walkie touched on it, but it's been spoken about. Dundee this season should be looking to consolidate in that top four, make sure they're in the playoffs. Yeah. If you said at the start of the season, like, we're going to be 3 points behind there, a few points behind Inverness, you know, it wouldn't have been a problem. Yeah. It's sort of,
is it because it's United?
Everything's highlighted much more, magnified. I think because United are running away with it.
Even the most optimistic Dundee fan going into the season would probably tell you that getting in the top four, finishing second or third, would probably be quite a good season.
Second's massive. I think United showed second that a couple of years ago.
But winning it was probably, mm-hmm, not a realistic game. Mm-hmm. Now they've got to reassess where they want to be. Obviously, that's top four. Mm-hmm. Like you say, George, probably second, so it gives you a good advantage. Mm-hmm. But yeah. They've got to find some consistency again, because they looked like they were getting somewhere and then they've lost it. Yep. And it's a new team, it's a new manager, so they're still learning. But eventually the fans' patience will run out, and it already is in some ways. You see a lot of fans getting very angry at James McPake and the players, mm-hmm, already.
Well, I mean, the position hurts for a Dundee fan because they're in the situation, but more so because Dundee United are the team at the top and are the team with a massive gap at this point in time. But what we say to the Dundee fans is, remember, I mean, you don't have to be that old to remember when Dundee were in the Championship, when if you were 10 or 12 points behind, your season was over.
Yep.
There was no playoff place. You were basically, that was it. You know, that you had nothing to play for. Maybe keep your fingers crossed for a run in the Scottish Cup, which was unlikely to happen. But in effect, the season was over. But, you know, there's a lot to play for this season. Still a lot.
Yeah.
First and foremost, start getting back to winning games. Get a run of form going and see where it takes you.
Yeah, need to start scoring goals as well. Yeah. They're really lacking goals. You look at how many goals they've scored this season. They've only scored 18 goals this season, mm-hmm, across 14 games. So if you want to be challenging for playoffs top, it's not enough.
No.
Defence has been pretty good at home, but maybe, you know, the derby, losing six goals in the derby maybe makes it look worse than it is. But defensively, they've been okay. It's that top end of the park and knitting it all together and finding a kind of winning combination, whether that means adding players, changing, mm-hmm, the system, bringing Todd in, maybe giving Josh McPake his shot. But yeah, it remains to be seen, and I'm sure James McPake will be given time. I don't think there's any question, mm-hmm, about that. I don't think there's.
And he should be given time. He should be given time. I mean, it'd be ridiculous to start thinking about changing managers. You know, many games is that we've played? 12, 13 games?
14 in the league.
14 games.
He's only had, 15 games?
Yeah.
League games as a manager. I mean, it's nothing.
And he's got an entirely new squad there. And like you said, George, it's a strong squad. It's just about finding the right combinations in, mm-hmm, there to win games.
Yeah. The good news for them is the game on Saturday is about as good as you can get when you're in poor form. I say that as an ardent Queen of the South fan, because we are hopeless at the moment.
Well, let's hope that continues, George. Yeah, well, yeah. Let's hope that continues until 5 o'clock on Saturday night.
I can only see that happening.
Dundee need to get out at Dens and get that early goal.
It has to be in the first half.
You know, have to get a goal in the first half. Get that kind of monkey off their backs as it is, because they've had two defeats in a row now where they've not scored.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking like scoring really in those games. Need to get out early, get the fans on side, play some good football as well. Queens are poor.
One win in the last five, mm-hmm. and we've only scored in two of them.
But you know that, so, and it's a cliche.
Shows you if you get that first goal.
Every team in this division can beat every other team in this division. It's a tough league. And they've got good players. Kevin Holt,
mm-hmm. Stephen Dobie. Injuries with the squads, it's different with United and Dundee. They have a bit more depth. With other teams, as soon as a couple of injuries come in, mm-hmm. it really hurts. Queens are struggling for centre-backs. Two of them get injured against United a couple of weeks ago.
They were pretty poor against United.
Even
with
the fit centre-backs, they were.
Even though two of them came off after replacing each other or whatever it was. Yeah.
So Kevin Holt's playing centre-back. We've got a midfielder at left-back. Our big striker, the focal point, he's been injured.
Well, maybe this is the game where James McPake will think, do you know what, maybe I'll test Queen of the South and I'll play Hemmings and Johnson up front.
But then, as a warning sign, United, that's what United did down at Palmerston. Mm. I think Robbie went 4-4-2 and ended up 4-0 to Queen. So, I mean, it's...
I think what's going to be fascinating on Saturday is James McPake's starting lineup.
Oh, yeah. It won't be the same. It'll be changed.
How he changes the lineup and maybe how he changes the actual, you know, the formation of the team. I think there's, on both counts, there will be changes.
We'll be hoping to have some players back as well. Obviously, there's injuries. Andy Nelson's out with a bruised foot. Jordan Marshall's hamstring has kind of gone again. They're having that re-scanned at the moment. And Jordan McGee's having some muscle tightness. I'm assuming that's his hamstring as well.
Mm-hmm. I think Marshall's been a big miss for them. He has a miss. Obviously, he's missed the two games where they've lost.
And he has a miss. Yeah. I would have fancied him to do better than Mackie did to stop.
He's a lot more experienced than Mackie.
I think Mackie's maybe going into that tackle with Carson and coming off really poorly. Mm. He could have done a lot better, but I don't think anyone covered themselves in glory at that goal. Dorrans, Meekins, Foster, the keeper.
It starts over on the other side. I think McGivern loses possession
of the ball as well.
Runs across to the right hand side and comes down, and a few tackles missed. The ball across the box. Honestly, looking at it again, it looked to me like the big goalie thought it was just going to run right across it. He didn't realise that Dorrans was coming onto the ball. I think if he realised that, he would have made an attempt to grab it in the 6-yard box.
Like you say, I think Marshall is the big miss. I think McGee, if he was fit, probably would have gone to centre half for the next game. Meekins or Foster might have dropped out, and Cammy would have came in anyway. So it's not, they've got cover there. Andrew Nelson as well, he's been playing out of position on the left. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of given them a headache. That's why they had to kind of change the system.
Yeah, well, Nelson had actually done okay. Yeah. He didn't do so well in the derby. But
what about somebody else? I mean, the first half of a dozen games, James McPake was pinning his hat on Finlay Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and saying this guy's good enough to play at this level, and we all saw he was good enough to play at this level.
Absolutely is.
He's dropped right out of things. Obviously, Graham Dorrans has been signed since that point, so that squeezed the midfield even more in terms of competition for places.
You know, he is only 16. He's a young boy. He's don't want to put too much strain in his body. He's still growing and all this kind of stuff that you don't get with experienced players. But there's maybe a case to use Finlay in certain games, and maybe Queen of the South at home is a good one because he's decent on the ball. Like you say, he's very good on the ball, actually controlling possession, and that maybe allows, you know, a more attacking players in front of him to get forward. And I would like to think the young legs as well, because there wasn't much legs up in Inverness.
Well, that could be an addition, but I think his young Finn Robertson's problem is he's a wee bit similar in the way he plays to Burn. And Ness
probably,
keeps the ball, doesn't take massive risks with the ball, and I think he's just behind them in the pecking order at the moment.
All I'm saying is he was in the team for 6 games and he seems to have disappeared from any lineups now whatsoever, and the team hasn't been functioning fantastically well. So I'm just wondering if James McPake is thinking, you know what, it's time I'm getting back and let's see what he can do. It's all about finding the winning team. If the team's winning, you can leave it as is.
There's other players as well. You know, Josh Todd might come into the mix, and he came off the bench and did well enough.
Mm-hmm. It's the classic against your old team as well. I mean, it seems to happen all the time that players playing their old team, they come up with a goal. I mean, it's written for the papers, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could easily happen.
Anyway, another player going up against the old team potentially is Danny Johnson, because Dundee have drawn Motherwell in the Scottish Cup. Fourth round in January, Motherwell have got a fantastic record against Dundee in recent seasons.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but they've certainly they've won the last seven. The last seven, is it?
Yeah.
So that's a tough one. It's a Premiership team, a good Premiership team as well.
They're
sitting fourth, aren't they? So
I think they've been excellent.
They've been fantastic. It'll be a big test for Dundee. I'll be surprised if they come through that.
You never know.
But you do never know. Things can change a lot between now and January. So.
Well, they certainly run Aberdeen close. And let's be honest, Motherwell, even Motherwell doing well, they're still, Aberdeen are just as good as Motherwell on their day. What I would say, Motherwell, Stephen, I'm a big fan of Stephen Robinson, their manager. You know, I think he knows how to win games both ways. Through a physical game, or whether it's down to, he's got players as well who can run the legs off you, you know, and get goals. So he's a clever manager.
That's if he's there, of course.
Yeah, well,
you know, a Northern Ireland job
there's a lot going on, isn't
there? Hearts job and stuff. He's up for both of them. So,
But no, Dundee's record against Motherwell is particularly poor. So it's probably not one they would have picked. But home draw. You can't ask.
That's what the manager was saying. Yep. He was asked. Earlier this week, that's all he wanted. Mm-hmm. Home draw against anyone.
Most of the players in the team are experienced players who've played at that level, but it gives the squad a flavour of where they want to be. They want to play in Premiership games against big teams, big clubs, and Motherwell are one of those, you know, a club similar to Dundee in many ways, but a club that's done it right more often than they haven't recently, and it's something Dundee got to aspire to. A club running a similar budget in a similar kind of area to be pushing into that Premiership and doing well, but we'll see. That's still to come. That's January, but on the horizon there's games at the weekend, and obviously Dundee United are back in action. They're taking on Morton. Yes, Robbie Nielsen takes his team down to Greenock on Saturday to the lovely surroundings of Capello to play Morton, a team that are struggling at the moment towards the bottom end of the Championship, but do have a very good home record.
Yeah,
United haven't won there in the last three attempts. It's been one of these grounds that both Dundee teams have gone to recently and actually struggled. How do you see that one going, George?
Well, I was actually going to talk about Capello.
Capello?
What did I say?
I don't know. Capello.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that are quite fond of the kind of old,
I like it.
Rustic or rusty, I suppose. Stephen, but I really don't like it at all.
There's a bit of both there.
Yeah,
it's cold. It's cold. It's not nice for like a November, December, January game, but I'm not a fan. It's not a pleasant place to go and play football. I don't think it's not comfortable. It's not nice surroundings, but Dundee United are going there in really top form. They beat them 6-0 at Tannadice. I think it was back in August or September. It was the start of the season. They should be favourites for that, really. They shouldn't have any problems going down there.
Carl, I'm looking at them. Just a quick look. Morton have got, at the moment, have got 16 points, but 15 of them have been at Capello.
All of them have been at Capello?
Yeah, all of them. Five wins and a draw.
They've lost every game away from home.
Their home record is sensational. When you look at other than Dundee United, they've got the best home record in the division. So that should start the alarm bells going straight away. And I'm sure Robbie Nielsen's brother, Robbie Nielsen, who's in charge of Dundee United. I'm sure he'll have the team well warned. You know, going down to Capello in November's not going to be easy. You know, just look at their record. But United are in such a good place. I'm not just talking about sort of, you know, at top of the league, but all know you're right, mentally they must just be
it must be
a great camp to be in at the moment. Everything's going so well.
Yeah, I mean, I was at St Andrews today, and the players, the manager, everyone, media team, everyone that was there just seemed so relaxed, so comfortable with where they are, sitting 9 points clear, 5 clean sheets in a row, going for club records, you know.
I think he's very good for that, Robbie Nielsen, actually.
Just keeping a lid on
things. Everything calm, whether it's win or lose. Top league, he's obviously been there at Hearts. He was, I think they led all the way, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he was Hearts manager.
Not a lot of his squad have actually, because I was speaking to Peter Pollitt, and he's a guy that's not really been involved in a situation like that before. He's been at Aberdeen, where they've been towards the top of the league and cups and whatever else. And you know, boys like that, Shanklin's not really been a league leader in his career. Butcher's the same.
He was for about last season.
A wee bit of a fair, but you know, it's just, but Robbie does have that experience, and I do fancy him to go down to Morton and get the 3 points, just because Morton, they're in such bad form at the moment. I know they've got a good home record, but they're playing Dundee United. They're the best team in the league. It shouldn't be a problem, even without Shanklin, who we now know is out with a thigh injury, which he picked up on a Scotland duty. Going to miss this game and you know, maybe get a phased return up until the new year. So maybe a couple of weeks without Shankland, but they've proved they can cope here.
Aye, over the past few weeks, I mean, Nicky Clark's really stepped up. Really impressed. He scored 4 in the last 5. And the one he didn't score, he played a part in the only goal in the game. I mean, he's been excellent.
Paul McMillan, Louis Appert, Sam Stanton.
I think they need more goals from Louis Appert. I like him a lot, but
Louis does a lot of unseen work, I think. He's got a good number of assists. Maybe five or six assists.
He sets up Shankland a lot this season.
There's a lot of unseen work in terms of the running, and it's not even just running to get the ball, it's space that he creates.
I know, I like him a lot.
Bashing into boys because he's big.
Just needs
physical.
To find his shooting boots sometimes, yeah. I think.
He's versatile, play up front, be good play off either wing.
I think the great thing for United is obviously Lawrence Shankland is the main man, but they've already proven they can win without him. Because of the gap they've got at the top of the table, there is no rush whatsoever to take a gamble with Shankland.
There's no pressure either on
they can just,
on the other players to kind of
absolutely,
make
they can just go and play it the next few weeks, see where they go, and not bring Shankland back into play until they're absolutely convinced he's ready and fit to go again. You know, if things are sometimes a wee bit tighter, you're tempted maybe to throw someone back in when they're not quite at it and hope they get through again, but you could do more damage than good. But given where United are, you know, they don't have to do that.
And obviously, Morton, we're talking about places that United struggle, and they've got Run coming up now. They're going to take on Alloa and Ayr, other places where United have gone in recent seasons, this season as well, you know, and had their problems. So this will be a more difficult run than it seems on paper, because you're playing Morton and Alloa, two teams towards the bottom.
Two of the bottom three.
And Ayr, who, in terms of this, obviously they're second, but in terms of the size of the club, United, Dundee United, dwarf Ayr. They should be beating teams like that historically, but this is a run now leading up to Christmas and the new year, maybe where Shankland's not going to be starting or fully fit, but they've got to continue. They did that against Queen of the South, you know, they did well. Mm-hmm. They've got to continue to prove that they can cope without him. I believe they will. There'll be some, maybe a draw or defeat in there, but they've opened up that gap now, that cushion where they can afford to maybe drop a couple of points with draws. You know, as long as the performance levels and the belief and the confidence keeps up, which I think it will, I can't see them losing that spot before the new year.
If they start adding to their away form, like playing away a bit like, they're not going to play exactly how they play at home because obviously it's totally different. Mm. But if they start picking up constant 3 and 1 points and keep it unbeaten at least.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, George, I mean, everybody's, you know, United are on a great run of form, right since the start of the season. Magnificent run of form. But they don't have to keep that level going to maintain their lead at the top because there isn't another team in that league that's put any run together whatsoever. You know, so the other teams, somebody from Ayr United, Inverness, Dundee, have got to start stringing a run of games together.
And it's not just 3 or 4, no, I mean, it's 7 or 8.
They've got to try to get a run of wins going, and none of them seem capable of doing that. So as long as United don't go on, you know, major sort of 3, 4, 5 game losing streak, which you can't comprehend that actually happening the way they're playing. You know, they will remain at the top through the Christmas period, and once you get through that, you start seeing the end of the tunnel, and you start moving towards that. You know, you'll be through. Christmas is a great time for all Scottish football because I've got to say that there's more international breaks, so we'll actually get a run of consistency running right through. There's no cups, tonic, caramel, wafer, cup ties or anything like that. You get a run of games, half a dozen games, and it's good. It's good for Scottish football. It's good for the fans. Bit of continuity. But you can string a run of games together where you can really do some real damage. Now, it'll be interesting to see if any of the other teams in Dundee United can do that, put it, so a run together, you know, and actually close that gap. If not, then United can be confident of going and seeing it out. You know, I think.
Like you say, George, you know, replicating their home form away from home, you know, being more convincing on the road, even if it is just picking up points and getting the odd, you know, the win here or there, it would be really, really massive because their away form hasn't been brilliant. They've not scored many goals on the road either. Looking at the table here, and I think Morton will be a tough test, but if they can go down there and have a really strong 3 or 4 goal win, the confidence will be through the roof.
I think they could actually, they've got a chance to do something which I imagine is probably pretty unprecedented. They were top of the league after the first game. I think they've been first every single week.
Yeah, due to winning the first game quite comfortably. Yeah. Was it 4-1 against?
I can't think. Hearts might have been close to being top of the league the whole season. I think it'd be amazing if they could managed it. Yeah. I think they were, well, I've said since the start of the season that I think they'll win the league, but
yeah,
it'd be an incredible feat, I think, if they just dominated the division.
It's going that way at the moment. It's going that way at the moment. And on the injury front as well, obviously they're missing Shanklin, but Pierre Pollitt's back in training this week, in contention to be involved on Saturday. I doubt he'll start. He might start, but he'll certainly be involved in the squad. And he's an alarm player who they've maybe missed for chunks of this season, who can actually really have a massive impact on winning games for United.
Although I think he's another player with, I think there's a lot more to come. Mm-hmm. He's not really, he's shown in bits and bobs at United, but the injuries have always kind of, he's looked okay, and then he's some wee problems come up. I think if they can get him going for a few weeks at a time, try and get some form in him, that's another player that a lot of teams in the division are really going to struggle to cope when he's right in his game.
I think, you know, it's like everything, George. I mean, you get players who are consistent throughout the season, who you'll get 7 out of 10 from most games. Other players, you'll find it'll be 8, maybe a 9, but then they'll drop down to a 4 or a 5. You know, and that's where sort of Robbie Nielsen's judgment comes in. There'll be a bit of a forum. Okay, we get others in. I put Pierre Paul in that category. Just have issues, injury-wise. But when he plays, you know, he could be a match winner for the team. You know, and it's just a case of making sure that, you know, you get him in at the right time, and you say, well, you know what, things didn't go too well last week. You're out, and somebody else steps up to the plate, and that's the secret, you know.
They played, was it Dunfermline a few weeks ago or last month, and it was that front four. It was Shanklin, the pair, Paulett, and McMullen. I think maybe Nicky Clark was involved as well.
Clark scored.
I can't remember the exact lineup, but Paulett was heavily involved.
I think a pair might have been on the bench.
Yeah, maybe. And he came on, yeah. But Paulett was heavily involved, and the interplay, the passing, the movement, the understanding between the fellow quality players, you know, I think up top, United are extremely loaded with quality. Paul McMullen's been excellent this season, Shankland, obviously. A pair, Clark, Paulett, the way they just played off each other, the Dunfermline defence were, in sixes and sevens, shouldn't have coped with it. Totally twisted them up, and if they can get him back in his top form, get Shanklin fit again and firing, which I know that he will.
It's pretty scary.
It's formidable.
The,
it's
scary for the rest of the division.
Well, it is. I mean, you've just mentioned five guys who were involved. I mean, but for them to go and play, you need another five behind them who are, and the goalkeeper who are given a solid base, and they've got that. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Not conceded since that Queen's game.
Butcher sitting in there, whether it's sitting in front of the defence or within the defensive line. These guys have been really solid, and that allows you to get your attacking players up the pitch, because when they do lose the ball, then they are going to be under a wee bit of pressure, but United have coped with anything that's been thrown their way, haven't they?
Callum Butcher as well is a man who they're trying to tie down to a longer deal as well. He's been fantastic this season at both ends of the park, really. You know, wherever he's played, he's popped up with goals. Really led United from the back or from the middle of the park when he's playing. And yeah, it looks like he's going to be offered a deal until maybe 2022. It's a long-term deal. It's still to be confirmed, but Robbie's hopeful, and I'm sure they'll get it over the line, because he seems to be enjoying his football at the moment, playing in a good team. One of the better players in a good team.
I also think where United are now, I mean, they should be looking ahead. I mean, they're not going to come out and say this, but they should be looking, you know, we need to keep boys.
Who do we need for next season?
Yeah. Who do we need to tie down now? You know, if you've got boys in your team that you think are Premier League quality, then get them tied up. Because we've seen it over the road at Dens, players being allowed to leave when you should have really had them tied up. You know, boys that can play at Premier League level, not saying they're world beaters, but they're certainly capable of playing at Premier League level and winning points at Premier League level. So you make sure you at least keep them in your side.
Yeah, Nicky Clark's another one, isn't he, George? I mean, we were looking at the contracts this season, and United have most of our key players signed up, but Butcher and Clark are maybe the key ones you'll be looking at.
I think so, yeah. I think Butcher's a massive player for them. Leads the team. Just in his attitude, the way he gets around the park and gets after the ball. And as you say, when you've got those front players in front of him. Yes. He's the one that lets them play. I mean, how many clean sheets in a row is it? Five?
Five.
I mean, they haven't conceded in over a month.
Sigrist
is
going for, was it Hamish McAlpine's record, isn't it?
Yeah.
You did a piece on it, didn't you?
We did a wee piece on the clean sheets, and it's a bit sketchy, like, but I think...
we're blaming Peter Rundle for that one, if you're listening, Pete.
What we can say is Hamish is.
Right, I thought Graham was just admitting to his.
No, it was Rundle.
It's usually slagging our rating.
I got a wee bit complicated, I've got to say, and even when I was reading it back to myself, I thought, wait a minute, where are we going here? But yeah, Hamish is the all time record clean sheet holder at Tannadice. Mm-hmm. And there have been runs in the past. I mean, Cammy Bell had a good run. Sigrist is now very close to emulating Cammy Bell. I think he's only about 10 or 20 minutes away. And then there was a Hamish run, I think, in the 80s that he's getting close to. He might be not, yeah. I would say he's a game and a half away.
Hamish was something like 612 minutes.
Something like that. So
and Cammy Bell was 580 or something like that, wasn't it? And so, Sigrist is on about 490 or something.
He's going well, and he's been a real top man for United, because let's be honest, I mean, everything but can come undone if your keeper's giving away goals cheaply, and he's really had he was always a good keeper. When we saw him at first, he was always a good goalkeeper, but he had a few errors in there that he's absolutely, you know, he's got them out of his system, and whether that's down to, you know, himself being a bit older, being a bit more experienced. Well, you've got to give credit to the backroom staff at Tannadice, you know, the goalkeeping coach.
Garden.
Alexander.
Neil Alexander. He's come in and obviously worked with a big Sigrist and done really well.
Yeah, he's back up as well, Dennis Mehmet's really pushing him, I think. He's another quality player in there.
Well, the manager's mentioned that, hasn't he? Yeah. He's hard a wee not, bit guilty that he hasn't really given Dennis a go. But it's, I think Sigrist, he's been exceptional, I think, since... I would have thought, I think the second half of last season, they may have been looking for a replacement for him. Because I don't think he really did.
He picked up for him at the right time, though. Just before the playoffs,
he was excellent.
And in the playoffs, he was excellent. But
and I think he just showed that you don't need to go and buy another goal.
Yeah. Obviously, it's to say to both sets of fans, you know, right now there's a lot of woe around Dundee and a lot of hype and optimism around United. But there's a long way to go. Everything can still change. It looks good for United's right now, and not so good for Dundee. But anyway, moving on, we're going to look at the national team and try and
cheer ourselves up.
And stay positive as Scotland try and make a major tournament finally, maybe. Yeah, of course, this is the news that Scotland will now take on Israel in the semi final of the Euro 2020 playoffs in March. It'll be a home tie at Hampden, one legged, if they can navigate that, which hopefully they will. They'll play either Norway or Serbia in the final away from home to potentially end 22 years of hurt waiting to get Scotland in a major tournament. Can we do it? That's my simple question.
We'll beat Israel. I think we showed when we played them in the Nations League that we're a better team than them, but I really wanted to avoid Serbia, to be honest.
I watched the draw. I knew we were at home for the semi-final and Israel... That was as good as we probably could have hoped for, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But my heart sank, I must admit, when I saw them being pulled away from home against either Norway or Serbia, which I think is going to be a gigantic task.
We'd known it had been Norway or Serbia for a while now, but the fact that it was away from home, that was, you know, that was a revelation that it would be away from home, because that was down to a draw where we'd play them. But
shows how much I was paying attention my week off. I didn't even know we were away. I thought we were home.
No.
Two good sides, and we can't take Israel lightly either, because they've got some good players on their team. It wasn't easy when we beat them in the Nations League last year, but I think we're a better team now.
Yeah, I think we saw encouraging signs in the last game, Carl.
Steve Clark's got them playing a decent brand of football, settled sort of team in terms of certainly the midfield. I think he's got what he wants.
Give the ball to John McGinn, you're fine.
Yeah. Centre backs, maybe the big question mark going into these playoffs, and obviously whether some of our higher prestige players, maybe if you want to say Robertson's, Fraser's, McTominay's, come back into the reckoning. Lawrence Shankland, of course, as well, had to pull out the Scotland squad. But lots of questions. I spoke to Lee Wilkie to kind of ask him some of those, because he was part of the last team for Scotland team to play in a playoff to make a major tournament back in 2003.
I'm sure he thanked you for reminding him of that.
He was quite happy to talk about it. You know, obviously Scotland lost 6-1 on aggregate to Holland that team as they tried to make Euro 2004. But you know, they did brilliant in the first leg, didn't they? I mean, I was very young at the time. Yeah. I was only 10 or 11, I think. But I still in my mind, you know, remember that goal, McFadden, Fletcher's layoff, everything about it, you know, it was fantastic. And obviously went over there and got horsed by a very good Holland team. But like Lee was saying, we've got to be positive, take the initiative, and this isn't the same level of opponent as Holland. And we have players on our squad like McFadden, like Fletcher, who can win you a game. You know, we've seen Ryan Christie do it, we've seen John McGinn do it, mm-hmm. we've seen Jim Forrest do it in the past. So I'm quite positive.
I'm positive as well. It's just, I think Serbia's probably the hardest draw we could get.
Mm-hmm. It might just be a little too much for me to climb.
You're saying Serbia, but Norway are at home.
Norway are a good team as well.
Norway are okay.
Yeah, I mean, they might go off a bit of a shock and beat Serbia. I mean, they're at home. I would suggest that, you know, they might do something there. But, you know, I mean, I think the big problem Steve Clark's got is he's still sort of fiddling about a wee bit. He'd rather have a settled team that he would like. I think he'd like to be another half a dozen games down the line. And I think he saw a few good things in the last match. I think Declan Gallagher did himself a lot of favours in the way he played in the game. I think attacking-wise, you know, you've got the Celtic guys, you know, who are all used to playing at a very high level in Europe, and you know, and
Palmer.
Exciting.
Palmer was good. I like
exciting
Palmer.
Going forward. Was good. Palmer did well right back. I thought that Taylor did well. Left back. Obviously,
position we don't need much, but
obviously, you know, Robertson, you would expect to come back in. But there were positives there, you know. But I think the big thing for me, I would have rather been at home in the final. But you can't have everything.
No, you can't have everything.
First and foremost, they've got to beat Israel, don't they?
Of course. I think the difference this time is most campaigns over the last 20 years or so have ended in a big kind of that was rubbish, we're going to go and do this again next year, whereas this time we're sort of building up towards here. We've got chance here, semi-final, final, big crowd at Hampden hopefully, and the sort of like the malaise has been lifted a wee bit, and Steve Clark's trying to evidently build something and some kind of positivity and consistency and getting some of the older players, more experienced players who've, I don't want to say failed, but they have failed, I suppose. Failed in the past, have been retiring moved along in the squad, and he's sticking with a couple of experienced guys like your Naismiths, Marshalls, and building a young team around it. And if it's not this time, you know, I think we're in the best position we've been for a while in terms of our manager and the players we've got to go and have a right good go for the World Cup in Qatar, where I'm sure we'll cope well in the heat if we make it.
I think the way they get the game against Kazakhstan actually helped that to kind of lift the malaise that fans might have, because after the first half we're all like, oh,
well, you know what,
we're back to this rubbish. And then
George, I'm going to take us back right to the start of the podcast, and I see similarities between Scotland and Dundee at a different level. I've got to say straight away, Scotland in the first half against Kazakhstan, the way Dundee are playing,
very slow.
Yeah, as soon as they stepped up the tempos, you know, Kazakhstan couldn't live with them, and that's what Dundee obviously I think need to do as well. It's a similar sort of thing. It's all about tempo in games. It's all about tempo, and Scotland need to keep that going. If you're going to beat teams, the tempo's got to be high. But fair play to the manager, because he obviously saw it straight away at half time, as you would expect the manager, Steve Clark, to believe. Saw it, and the team came out in the second half and, you know, got their fingers and moved the ball much quicker.
Getting a wee bit of luck as well, which Scotland haven't got in the past few years. I mean, McGinn's free kick, hit the defender, goes in, kind of takes the keeper out a wee bit. Some refs would have given it.
Cyprus had a goal ruled out, which probably should have been a goal.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
And then Nicosia, so.
Yeah, I think. So that's kind of that's good signs. You always think that you
earn your luck in games. You know, I mean, if you're pressing, you'll get the things going for you. You know.
But hey, I'm sure we'll beat Israel, get to the final, and then in true Scotland fashion, completely collapse into a glorious failure.
Is that water in that bottle you've got there?
Anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Cheers.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it. Or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people find Twa Teams One Street, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget to pick up your copy of The Tilly Monday to Saturday for all the latest from Dens and Tannadice, or go to thetilly.co.uk to find out how you can get the paper delivered right to your door.